EFL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yes, good evening. Welcome along to tonight's FL 72 here on Radio Yorkshire. I'm Tom Carndiff and no Sam Bridges this week, so I'll be joined by Derek Clark for the next hour or so. Plenty of news to talk about in both Yorkshire and the Football League across the country. We'll be talking about Massimo Cellino's 18-month ban given to him by the FA. We'll also be looking back at the performances of our Yorkshire sides at the weekend, as well as talking about that Sol Bamba and Neil Warnock incident at Cardiff, as well as Owen Coyle. He does make his regular feature on this show after coming off the back of a Manager of the Month nomination. All that and more coming up on the FL 72.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Radio Yorkshire. It's the FL 72, and it's not Sam Bridges, it's Derek Clark filling in for the illustrious leader this evening. And joining me, as usual, is the one and only Tom Carndiff.
Hello.
Good to have you here, Tom. I feel honoured to be in the hot seat this week.
Oh, well, it's the role everyone wants, really. It's gone Christmassy since last week in here.
It has a bit.
Literally, I'm looking at you with... What's this called? What's the word?
Tinsel.
Tinsel, that's it. Yeah. I couldn't think of it. So you got tinsel all over and it's just
lacking a bit of lights, I think, though. I think Christmas lights.
Yeah. We'll have to get onto that. That could be next week's FL 72, just an hour of putting lights up around the studio, but there we go.
There we go, indeed. Yeah, busy evening in store for our Yorkshire clubs in Championship action tonight. Before we look ahead to the games this evening, we'll look back at what's taken place in the week just past. We'll kick off, like you mentioned in the intro there, Tom, Massimo Cellino. He'd gone a bit quiet, but now he's been banned for 18 months and fined £250,000.
It's not a bad effort in terms of in terms of bans and going for it, but yeah. 18 months, I think it's, you know, there's the comparison to kind of the, is it Chambers, Callum Chambers at Arsenal, but I think obviously this isn't Cellino's first time with the FA, so of course 18 months, I can kind of see why it's been given, and then 250k for him and 250k for Leeds, so really it's kind of a £500,000 fine that he's going to have to pay, which is huge money and an even bigger ban.
It is a bit, yeah. I'm interested to find out if what the suspension entails. Surely he can still wheel and deal, but it doesn't have to be at Elland Road. Surely he can still pull the strings Italy or whatever.
I think that's... I'm not sure if that's kind of what happened the last time. But,
They went on that great run the last time it happened.
I know, It's, Leeds are high-flying anyway. What, sixth?
Yep.
Fifth or sixth at the moment, so... Yeah. Follows the same pattern, they'll be laughing, but it bans him from being a director at any club in England, so he can't just exactly sell Leeds and go, oh, buy someone else. So I don't know how involved he'll be, but then obviously you've got this looming takeover again that's coming about, so whether it'll actually matter or not, I'm not too sure, but interesting times ahead.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, I guess, the timing of it, because Leeds have been in great form of late, albeit they lost to Brighton on Friday night. Do you think that's maybe just a blip, and they'll kick on after that?
You'd hope so. I think when you look at any team going to Brighton, really not many teams get anything out of their... Out of what's it called? Where do they play the Amex Stadium? I was thinking of the ABAX, is it? But that's where Peterborough United's one. There's many abbreviations, but not many teams go there and get anything. I think they've only lost one this season anyway. So you know it's kind of been a pattern for Leeds anyway over the past couple of seasons, going to Brighton not getting much out of it. Mm. So you'd hope it's a blip and. Big game to bounce back tonight against Reading.
Yeah, massive game. We'll look ahead to that very shortly indeed. You can listen to that game live on Radio Yorkshire. Mark Wilson, Ridders and Stats, bringing you that game as it happens. Okay, let's move on to Huddersfield Town then. they're also in action this evening. They got back to winning ways at the weekend with a 2-1 win over Bristol City. That ended a 5-match winless run. A lot of people were saying as a bubble burst for the Terriers, but they're back in fourth position, so things looking a little rosier.
Yeah, exactly. I think it helped having such a good early season form that you mentioned it there. Yep. They can have a 5-game blip, win one, yeah, and then go back up to fourth. So they're still in a good position, I think. I think it's kind of to say that, I don't know, I think we kind of coined the term crisis in recent weeks. But, you know, fourth in the league, I think if you told them that, we always say, and we kind of compare it to the start of the season, told a Huddersfield fan you're going to be fourth at, well, pretty much near Christmas.
Yeah.
They'd have snapped your hands off for it. So you can't, surely you can't, you know, be panicking at this stage. And, you know, another a difficult game tonight. I think Burton are one of those where they're capable of springing a result. But,
yeah,
good to see them get back to winning ways anyway.
Yeah, they're pretty good at home, Burton. They've not lost since September. They're picking up 17 points. So the Pirelli Stadium seemed a bit of a fortress in that game. So Wagner came out and spoke to us ahead of the game. And he says a win tonight will be mean the same as their victory at St James' Park against Newcastle, which I know where he's coming from, but yeah. I think the Newcastle game is more of an achievement, if I'm being honest. We also spoke to Danny Ward ahead of the game. He came out with an interesting point where he says that they can be the Leicester City this season. Let's hear what you had to say earlier on.
You've talked about turning a corner. How big a relief was it to finally get back to winning ways?
Huge relief, to be honest. You know, I think it's natural in football, especially within a club. Maybe people from the outside might not see exactly what goes on a day-to-day basis, and the thing about this club is everyone within it actually, you know, really cares about how the club's doing. You know, no one wants to rest on the laurels just because we had a brilliant start and then we've gone through a sticky patch. It's not a case of, oh, we don't want people to think it's Huddersfield Town, you know, and all this. That doesn't affect us. We want to concentrate on the next game and put things right, and hopefully, like I did say before, you know, it is a turning stone in our season.
It's something that, though, you've gone through this bit of a sticky patch and yet fourth in the table. I mean, it's not a bad place to be in after that.
No, I think at the start of the season, if people from the outside looking in were to say Huddersfield Town will be in the playoff positions just before Christmas, I think a lot of fans might bite your hand off, which, in essence, that's part of football. You know, the manager's gone to say no expectations, no limits, and the boys have really, you know, fed into that idea. End of the day, we come in, no footballer wants to train all week and lose on a Saturday. That's just not us. We try and do our talking on the pitch and we give everything we can.
Looking at Burton, they've picked up a lot of their points at home, so you know that it's going to be a tough ask because a lot of good teams have gone there and gone out with nothing.
Yeah, well, we'll analyse, I'm sure, over the next day or so to see where their strengths and weaknesses lie. But in this league, it doesn't matter who you're playing against, whether it's home or away, it's a very competitive league, and I think, especially the run we've been on recently, results have proved that.
And for yourself, being here in the Championship, playing week in, week out, like you've said, it's progression, but what do you think you've gained most from it? Is it the case that you've been travelling to some really tough grounds, facing some good teams? Do you feel that that's getting you ready for the Premier League, perhaps?
I think so, yeah. But I think if you look at the variety of teams in this league, if you look at the start of the season, for example, you know, you look across the table and the clubs in there, you know, there was 12 clubs that you look through, which are all big clubs, and you think, well, maybe they've got a chance, you know, maybe they're going to be fighting. So there's always, you know, there's a lot of quality players and big teams in this league, and that again was another thing that attracted me to Huddersfield Town. You know, could we be, you know, the Leicester maybe, and cause a few upsets here and there, and see where it takes us. And at the minute, you know, there is a feel good factor around the place, regardless of the run we've been on recently.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Huddersfield goalkeeper Danny Ward speaking to our man Tom Feeney ahead of their game against Burton tonight. Interesting point he made there, Tom, about emulating Leicester. Can Huddersfield be the Leicester City this season?
It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. I can understand why the comparison's kind of there, but really Leicester were just at the top and then they were stuck at the top all season. I don't know. I think it'd be a bit unfair on Huddersfield, because I wouldn't say, when you compare it to Leicester, Leicester were favourites or one of the favourites to get relegated.
Yep.
You know, ended up going on to win the league. But I wouldn't say Huddersfield were anywhere near really relegation candidates. So yeah. I can understand why the comparison's there, but It would be a shock if obviously they went up, but I wouldn't say it would be as big as kind of that 5,000-1 Leicester City story.
No. Huddersfield Town, though, sitting comfortably in fourth in the table, travelling to Burton, the Pirelli Stadium this evening, hoping to make it back-to-back wins after that impressive victory over Bristol City at the weekend. OK, let's turn our attentions set into South Yorkshire now. A big match taking place at Hillsborough tonight, the South Yorkshire Derby, Sheffield Wednesday against Barnsley. Wednesday losing at the weekend against Leeds United's opponents tonight in Reading. What have you made of Wednesday so far, Tom? Have you been impressed with them? Or, I mean, for me, they've been a bit inconsistent.
Yeah, definitely. I think underwhelming, really, when I know they're seventh, but for a large part of the season, they've been out of those playoff places. They've been struggling. For a team last year who obviously got to the playoff final, but they were really entertaining to watch. They played really good football. They were, you know, just an enjoyable team to see whenever they were on TV. It's disappointing. I know, obviously, they maybe would have wanted something at the weekend, but of course, Reading are where they are. Maybe I think I read earlier that you mentioned about Reading playing Leeds, two new managers, probably two teams who are overachieving. I think you could throw Reading into that category, and you know they're one of the teams keeping someone like Sheffield Wednesday out of the playoffs where they kind of should be.
And according to our man Danny Parkinson, they've got major problems, which I find hard to believe.
Major problems.
Yes, he came out with that comment the other day. Absolutely unbelievable.
If they've
got major problems, then what have Rotherham got?
Rotherham, just give it up now. Give up. I can understand why you'd say they've got problems. Because obviously
they've got problems. They're third in the league.
I don't know.
I defies belief where he got that statement from, but it bewilders me.
I think there's all the talk of the kind of the off. I think there's kind of the off-field ownership.
Away from home, they're not as strong, I don't think, as at home.
But
league.
Don't know. I'm going to have to take this up with Danny. I'm going to.
Yeah.
No idea where he's got that phrase from.
Yeah.
But it's
major problems.
Nonsense.
Absolutely unbelievable. So Sheffield Wednesday, a bit hit and miss this season. Up against a Barnsley side, I'm going to be honest with you, I think they've been a breath of fresh air this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of good to see that they've taken that form from the second half of last season where they just went on a ridiculous run kind of into the Championship, because 11th, really good position for them to be in. I know we talked about Huddersfield kind of doing well. I don't think they'd be expecting to kind of do that, but you know, stay well clear of kind of relegation trouble or getting drawn into that battle, relegation battle early on. Really good, and they're pulling off some good results. You know, you look at that one over Norwich at the weekend. Okay, Norwich haven't been in the best form, but they're still a top team in this division. So for Barnsley, I'm sure they'd be very happy to get the 3 points. And you know, another difficult game tonight, but it should give them confidence going off the back of a couple of good results.
Yeah, I tell you what, if they win that game tonight, if results go their way elsewhere, they could find themselves a point off the playoffs. And dare they dream to reach the playoffs? That would be some achievement from where they were at sort of this time last year, struggling in that one.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's no harm in kind of in dreaming, having that ambition, and you know, you're there for a reason. I think we're 20, 21 games in, so you get a couple more games, you're halfway into the season. If you're a point off the playoffs, then really you should be going well going into January, going into a transfer window. Well, we should really maybe view ourselves as outside playoff hopefuls.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a great position to be in, and like you said, if results do go their way and they get a win tonight, it'd be fantastic for them, a fantastic position. And you know, with what that put Leeds, Huddersfield, Sheff Wednesday and Barnsley in the top eight, is it? So be a pretty good result for Yorkshire as well, I think.
It could be, and if just Rotherham pick up a good few more wins, then they could find themselves in safe as well.
I know, I said there's no harm in dreaming, but a couple of wins for Rotherham, it's a bit far the way they're going at the moment.
It gets them slightly closer to Wigan.
Oh, well, there we go. They're only 8 points adrift of 23rd, the team above them. There we go.
Anyway, back to Barnsley. We've been speaking to Tykes boss Paul Heggingbottom ahead of tonight's game.
Listen, I'm a big believer that you get what you deserve, and at the minute we deserve to be 11th where we are. We deserve to have won 8 and lost 8, and that's it. But his aim is to always get better, so we're always looking at what we can do better, and by doing the right things more often than not, you can begin to change that look, if you like. And we did. We got his rewards, because at times when they did get through us, we had bodies on the line. We had the running power and the willingness to press them from the front. So we had a bit of everything, so that's the most pleasing thing.
How important is it to continue to build this momentum going into the Christmas period?
Yeah, you're always trying. You can't, like I say, you can't let the results dictate. You're never going to keep winning and you're never going to keep losing. You've just got to be happy and understand that you're doing your best and striving to do your best all the time. It's nice to get the rewards, because when you think that the team's doing things well and right and executing things properly, and the players get the rewards for that, which is always good. In terms of adding confidence, it's that's always important, that these players know that if they perform to their best, they can really affect whoever they're playing against in this league.
What have you made to Sheffield Wednesday's season so far?
Similar to most. There's not many teams, but probably the top two or three now, who's been on real good sustained runs. It's the nature of the league and how tight it is. Everyone will think they should have and could have more points, and Wednesday will be no different.
With them being a bit hit and miss at the moment, especially at home, it's a game for the taking, really.
Yeah, big game. You've got to perform. Like I said, we understand what it takes to win a game in this league. It takes absolutely everything we've got, and we're going to have to do the same again. They've got good players on the bench, so they're going to pose threats, and we have to be ready for that, and likewise I'd back our players to pose them some threats as well.
Top half of the table, nearly midway through the season, what have you made to the season as a whole so far?
It's been enjoyable, it's been good. Like I said, we're pleased with what we've done. We want to push on, and wherever we end up, we know we'll have given his best, and if we've done that, then great. And then at the end of the season, we'll be looking at, right, where can we improve, what do we need to improve, both in terms of playing staff, coaching staff, infrastructure, decision making, everything that affects the football squad. Look, we'll be looking at all that.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Barnsley boss Paul Higginbottom speaking to our man Jack Deaton ahead of tonight's South Yorkshire derby. How do you see that one going, Tom?
Difficult, very difficult. I think it's always difficult for any team to go to Hillsborough and get something. I'd maybe fancy Wednesday a 2-1 win. I think I'd go for. I think both teams have got kind of goals in them.
Yeah,
but I think if it was maybe the other way around, if it was at Oakwell, I might fancy Barnsley, but difficult one. I'd say maybe Wednesday just to edge it.
Yeah, I think it's got the makings of an absolute cracker down at Hillsborough this evening. Sheffield Wednesday taking on Barnsley. OK, let's turn our attentions now to Rotherham, propping up the Championship table in 24th position, 10 points away from safety. But they've got that win under their belt at the weekend under caretaker boss Paul Warne, a win against QPR at the New York Stadium. So they'll go down to the Craven Cottage tonight. Tough place to go, but tell you what, they've got a great degree of confidence after that win.
Yeah, definitely. I think they needed it because I think they've only won one other game this season, and that was Brentford. Back in August.
Yeah, Alan Stubbs' reign. Oh, it seems a lifetime ago.
Which it was just terrible. But there we go, and yeah, they needed it.
They got more wins than Kenny Jackett. To be fair.
There we go. But then Kenny Jackett had literally just got in. I found his office and then went, I don't want this.
And
he
just realised what he'd just done. Oh no, get me out of here.
I thought I was going to Rotterdam, not Rotherham.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they needed it, and you know, it might give them that bit of confidence to know that they can actually win games against QPR side. Okay, they've not been great, but they've still got the players there to get results. I think, you know, looking at the way Rotherham were going, you're pretty much looking at every game they've got going, yeah, probably going to lose that one the way at the moment. But confidence boost going to Fulham. They've started off better. They've dropped down the table a bit, but still a good side, especially at Craven Cottage.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Fulham at Barnsley earlier on in the season. They won 4-2 and they were very impressive. When they're on their game, they're a good side. They're probably one of the best footballing sides in the division. Saying that, though, Rotherham can go there. And I tell you what, if Paul Warne wins tonight, he must be a candidate for that job.
I think so. I think if he does get the win, he's a candidate. But I think he's a candidate purely because who wants the job? Realistically.
Yeah. Well, they're going down, so you've got that in your CV.
Yeah.
So it's for me, and I've said it before, the job is for someone new to the management game. That's how I'm thinking Paul Warne could be a possible candidate.
I think so, yeah. I'd have to agree with you on that. But is that kind of accepting relegation already? I'm not too sure, but I just don't know who really there is to kind of, you could point and go, yeah, you know what, they're going to come in and they're going to be kind of that motivator, someone who's experienced enough to kind of get the team turn around like they did with Neil Warnock. But obviously, yeah. You know, Warnock's at Cardiff now, he's not going to come back. It's a difficult one, but I think it's a case of, you know what, I think they are relegated already. You never want to write it off, but you know they're already so far adrift of the team above them, let alone safety, that could well be giving it to Warn to kind of have the second half of the season to evaluate the job, look at the team he's got, and then rebuild.
Yeah, I think a rebuilding job is certainly what it is down at the New York Stadium. Okay, you're listening to the FL72. This is Radio Yorkshire. We'll be back after these.
Christmas is almost here. I need to get to TK Maxx. With huge deliveries of brands and unique gifts at up to 60% less than the RRP arriving almost every day, get perfect prezzies at ridiculously good prices. Find surprising gifts for less online and in store today. TK Maxx. Big labels, small prices, ridiculous gifting possibilities.
Come on, get one!
In life, there are clever choices.
Stand on!
And not so clever choices. Choosing to curse at the tractor driver holding you up before realizing he's getting out. He's 6 feet six. Oh, and built like a...
You got somewhere to say.
Is a not so clever choice. Choosing to heat your off-grid home with Calagas to hide your tank underground is a clever choice. See how easy it is to switch at Cala.co.uk. Ooh.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
You're listening to the FL72 on Radio Yorkshire with me, Derek Clark, and Tom Carnduff. Okay, let's move our attention to League One. We'll start off with Bradford City. A disappointing result at the weekend, Tom, 0-0. It seems to be the story of their season. They just can't put chances away and they're dropping points.
Yeah, definitely. I think for a team up there, I know Bolton haven't scored many, but they do have these games where they do have a bit of a blip. I think it's a kind of the same story as last season, really, but still in a good position, fourth in the league. I know Charlton have struggled both kind of on and off the pitch really this season, so when Charlton come, especially to a club like Bradford, you would be expecting Bradford to get the win. I know Charlton were down to 10 men, but I don't think you really count it, as it was the very end of the game, but still disappointing, but they're going to pick themselves up. You'd back them to recover and bounce back in the next game.
Yeah, what would worry me is the fact that, I mean, they've slipped 7 points adrift from the automatic promotion spots, and that's really what you want to strive for. I'm sure all the Bantams would have taken the position they're in at the moment, but I mean, they've had too many draws for my liking, and games that they've dominated, and if they had a decent striker up there, they could have turned them into wins.
Yeah, definitely. I think League One this year was one of those leagues where you looked at it at the start and it was really a difficult kind of...
Yeah.
You can't really point out anyone to say, right, they're going to win it. I think Sheffield United were bookies' favourites, as they are every year, because they're just Sheffield United. So really that kind of showed how open this league is this year. Bradford, of course, playoff disappointment last year, but they've still got the quality there. Did a good job in appointing Stuart McCall as well, and the back of Parkinson, which was always going to be a difficult replacement. Like you said, I know the fans would have taken where they are. Maybe, you know, looking going well, we'd like to be automatic, but you know, like Rotherham, I know I kind of wrote them off 5 minutes ago, but Bradford have kind of got that spark about them. They've got that positivity. And you could back them to kind of close the gap, especially with the way the kind of top end of League One's going, where most of the teams are hitting a bad form at certain times. You look at Scunthorpe recently, Sheffield United at the start of the season. So, would fancy them to push the top two and maybe break into it.
Yeah, I think they're playing some good stuff, but I think they're just struggling to find that player to put the ball in the back of the net. They've got James Hansen there, but I think they need a guy off him. I don't think Hawula is the answer. I think he's okay, a guy you can bring on. They've obviously... I think January time, I think a striker must be the priority for Stuart and Kenny.
I think they've struggled really since Wells, in all honesty. They never really replaced him. And, you know, we saw it last season for a team who were at the top. They weren't scoring many goals. It showed in the playoffs kind of how close they were against Millwall. And, you know, I think they've been scoring probably a bit more than they have been. But then you look at the weekend and a 0-0 against Charlton when you're at home. A team like Bradford, really at home in that league, should really fancy themselves to beat anyone. So whether they would have had that striker who can, you know, because most teams have the player who can come on or the striker who can get a goal out of nothing. I think that's kind of what they're lacking at the moment. But like I said, you know, January's only, what, 2-3 weeks away. It's got to be top priority. It's got to be top priority to bring someone in.
Most definitely. And let's cross our attentions, staying in League One, to Sheffield United, a side that had a sort of touch-and-go start to the campaign as they got used to Chris Wilder's methods. But they've shot up the table. They sit third in the League One on 41 points. A thumping win at the weekend against Swindon. They take on Coventry on Thursday night. Things couldn't go any better, really, for the Blades, if you're a Blade supporter.
Definitely, yeah. They've bounced back very well, especially at the weekend, coming off the back of a few bad results. I know Bolton was maybe one they wanted to win to progress in that competition. Coming off the back of the defeat against Walsall and then Charlton, regardless of competition, it's still affecting form.
Yeah.
So it's good to, you know, for them to get such an emphatic win as they did. They kind of had that blip at the start of the season, like you said, where they kind of struggled to adjust.
But I think that's like similar to Leeds. I think that's just players getting used to a manager's new style and that sort of stuff.
And it's good to see, you know, so like we've seen it, it's modern football where if you don't get the start you want, clubs are quite happy just to pull the trigger like that and sack a manager. So it's good to see that, you know, they stuck with him. It's working. He's proven that he's kind of successful. He did it with Northampton. And you fancy United, much like Bradford, to really push Bolton and Scunthorpe. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw that top three, that top four, just interchanging for the rest of the season as we approach the end.
Well, I think now that, I mean, Sheffield United have sort of, they're 5 points ahead of Bradford now in third place. I think it's going to be between Scunthorpe, Bolton and Sheffield United for those two automatic places. Would you agree with that?
I'd say so, largely, yeah. I know, you know, I do fancy Bradford to get something together, and, you know, a couple of good results, they're well back into it. But the way Sheffield United, Bolton and Scunthorpe are going, it's difficult but not impossible. And, you know, I would fancy Bradford to join the pack at some point, or roughly get, you know, within real touching distance. But I think it is going to be Scunthorpe, like you said, Scunthorpe, Bolton, Sheffield United. One of those is going to take, or two of those are going to take the top two places. But, you know, good to see, especially from a neutral aspect of, you know, you're watching it, it's wide open title race. It makes it exciting.
Certainly does that. OK, let's turn our attentions now to League Two. Doncaster, a pretty poor result for as far as they're concerned at the weekend, albeit they were taking on the division's top team in Plymouth, a 2-0 defeat. But in the main, it's been a pretty decent season for Darren Ferguson's men.
Pretty decent season, yeah. It's going well. I think they kind of need to come back up as soon as they can because, you know, only a couple of years ago, they were a Championship club. Fair enough, they weren't competitive in the Championship, but they were still there.
Yeah.
I think you probably could use the word disappointing against Plymouth, because if you're a team at the top end of the table, whether it's home or away, when you're playing another team at the top, you want to at least get something. Especially if you were Doncaster, you're away at Plymouth, you would have taken a point.
Yeah.
So disappointing in that aspect, but again, much like pretty much most Yorkshire clubs this season, good position overall, and you know, you'd expect back them to bounce back.
Yeah, you certainly would. The top three automatically qualify, will get promoted to League One. Plymouth lead the way on 41 points, followed by Carlisle and Doncaster, both on 39. Portsmouth on 34, 5 points behind. There's another club that you look at, Tom, and you're thinking, FA Cup winners not so long ago in the Premier League. What a fall from grace they've had.
Massive, isn't it? It's crazy. You know, everyone talks about, you know, whenever you talk finances in football, it's instantly Doona Leeds, the Leeds United kind of story. But Portsmouth, you know, equally, it's just as bad. Like you said, FA Cup, they were in Europe and now League Two. But I think it's good for them because they've kind of rebuilt as a club, rebuilt as a squad, and still got the great fan base they have there. And again, I'd kind of bat them to break into that top three at the expense of one of those three teams.
Who misses out then?
I think Carlisle. I think Carlisle, they're a good side, but I think Portsmouth have been that kind of close to getting up in recent seasons. I think they've kind of got that experience of being at that end of the table. And I don't know, I just look at Portsmouth and kind of the players they've got, the team they've got. I think that they could break in. But I'd still fancy, you know, Plymouth and Doncaster to stay in the top three.
Yeah, certainly. Light League One, a very tasty top of the table there. Clubs fighting out to win automatic promotion to League One. OK, let's turn our attentions to wider, further afield across the FL 72. One notable exchange, angry exchange at the weekend that took my attention, everyone's attention, was down at Portman Road between Ipswich and Cardiff City. Saul Bamba just going mental.
Just lost it, didn't he? Completely lost it. I think we saw clips of it when he was at Leeds. Very passionate, but when a refereeing decision, you know, if there was a penalty given against Leeds, he would be the first one at the referee.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, pretty clearly making his feelings known, but that is absolutely crazy what happened when he, you know, I think he started a fight with a physio. He started
He was unhappy, but
then
injured, and he was upset. I think they didn't stop the game, so he went ballistic at the referee, I think, to start off with, and then the fourth official, and then everyone get involved.
Yeah, I think, well, we'll hear from Warnock in a minute, and he mentions about that, the stop in play, but crazy. It's just, I can't believe watching the video of, well, this is just bizarre. And Neil Warnock as well. It's a manager
who... You can't push your manager, come on.
You can't. You know, as much as everyone thinks what they want about Neil Warnock, you can't do that.
No.
But I think it doesn't help that Neil Warnock, again, much like Bamba, is someone who will make his feelings known very clearly. And we saw that in the video. Maybe it's what he needed. But... Yeah. Crazy, absolutely crazy moment.
Yeah, let's hear from the Bluebirds boss after that fracas. Here's Neil Warnock.
Neil, you must have been pleased with your team's performance in that first half.
Yeah, and, you know, at the end with 10 men, I thought we could have won it as well. You know, I thought they did ever so well. I'm really proud of them today. We played some good stuff and disappointed to come away with a point.
Main talking point of the game, you know, I've got to ask you about it, the sending off. How did you see it?
Oh, well, you can't condone what he's done. It's a red card, isn't it? But... I think when you got experience, the referee had a great chance to give a foul and stop the play. He's tried to be helpful.
Did you think it was a foul?
Yeah. Oh, he admits it's a foul, but he tried to play advantage. And what I'm saying to him, when Sol Bamba's down on the ground, I don't want advantage. I want him to stop it, and it saves all that. One free kick would have saved all that problems that I've got now that's mounted up. And I suppose it's just experience, really. Mm. But Douglas knew what he was doing. When I look at the video, the DVD, he leaves his foot in, like, and... like the second near the end, you know, the lad that stopped Junior, when you look at it on the television, you know, he puts his arm out. It's a blatant foul. And so we're disappointed. We didn't get what we thought we deserved today, but all credit to the players. I thought they were super, especially in the last 15 minutes.
I know you've had a chat with the referee, but obviously there's some serious incidents. Obviously he was involved, Bamba was involved with yourself, with the physio as well. You know, it was worrying scenes when you're sort of watching in on the game.
Yeah, I mean, when when somebody's left the foot in like that, clever, isn't it? You know, a bit like Fabregas, isn't it, when he got away with the slap in his face on the sly, wasn't it? You know, you've just got to accept it. He doesn't condone it, what he's done, and he'll be absolutely distraught now, like he is. But you know, until it happens to you, you don't realise how sort of passionate that you are.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Brilliant stuff. There's Neil Warnock explaining the Saul Bamba situation at the weekend down at Portman Road, Ipswich against Cardiff. You rarely see things like that, meltdowns on the part, do you? Especially in the professional game. I mean, Di Canio springs to mind.
Yeah, definitely.
Apart from that, I'm struggling.
I think it's the perfect combination of the player and the manager.
Yeah.
That, you know, I can understand why Bamba was maybe annoyed, but if he is going to go and push any manager for it to kick off, it's maybe, was it Spurs when they had Gattuso got involved, was it?
Oh, with Joe Jordan?
Yeah, Joe Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, what a fight that would be.
I think that was like that.
I'd pay money to watch that.
The championship equivalent of that, I think, is Saul Bamba and Neil Warnock.
Oh.
And then when you watched it, it's like, oh my God, what's going on? You can't do this, but... You know, I think I saw a comment on Twitter saying someone said about disgusting behaviour by Bamba that didn't hit Neil Warnock given the chance. But I thought that a bit harsh. You can't hit your own manager, but you're close to doing it.
He's an old man. You can't hit an old man.
He's like your loving granddad.
Yeah,
saying it then,
you know, your granddad.
He's so caring. He's just like you can. Oh, I can't fault the effort of the lads. Come on, everyone. He's sat in the changing room. You know, you can't imagine him losing it when he talks like that. Come on, everyone. Let's sit. Let's grab a drink. Come on. Yeah. Let's talk about what we need to do better next time. Come on, everyone, chip in your thoughts. I don't think it's like that. But, yeah, just crazy moment.
Yeah, it certainly was down at Portman Road at the weekend. OK, news today. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank turning down the opportunity. How can you turn down Coventry City? Is he mad?
Oh, I know. Much like how can anyone turn down Rotherham?
Yeah.
I think...
What I found funny, I'm going to just to put in there, I heard the news on Sky, and the reporter says his flirtation with Coventry City has ended. Was he flirting with Coventry City?
Come and get me. Looking at them from across the bar, yeah. As in, I'm a free manager.
They don't quite get that.
No, but...
How do you flirt with football clubs, really?
I no idea. I think Coventry, it's going to go to, is it Mark Venus in charge there? He said that they're a club in crisis, and that pretty much sums it up.
Well, tell you what, if Reading have got major problems, Coventry have got astronomical problems.
Oh, get Danny Parkinson back in. Yeah. Let's go, right. So if that's Reading, put Coventry on your scale
of
madness.
That's off the scale.
He's going to have to go down the street to kind of mark that on the timeline of madness. But, you know, it's difficult. Again, like Rotherham, it's difficult for Coventry to kind of draw managers in because... they're not doing well on the pitch. There's all the talk off the pitch. A lot of fans unhappy with the way the club's owned. It's just not an attractive prospect for anyone. Like you said, unless it's kind of similar to Rotherham, where they just need to accept that they may go down this year. All right, they're not as bad in a bad situation as Rotherham. But do they kind of just go, you know what, we give it to a young manager, the Neville... I think it's Phil Neville has been mentioned for a few jobs. I think Berry was the one he was mentioned with most recently. And you just go for it, bite the bullet in that, give them the chance and see what they can do.
Yeah, it's a shame really because I remember growing up, Coventry were a Premier League side, a Premiership side. Year after year, they had some good players playing for them, guys like Gary McAllister, Gordon Strachan, obviously at the helm as well. So that's been a sad demise, seeing them drift down the leagues and struggling, battling against relegation in League One. But interesting times there at Coventry City. Okay. We've got here Wigan Athletic's Twitter account at the weekend.
Yeah, I wanted to put this in because it was diabolical. I don't know if you saw this.
I didn't know.
I don't know who they gave the Twitter account to. Let me try and find it. But it was obviously like, you know, like someone was on work experience and they never heard of Twitter.
I've got your tweet here.
Yeah, I've just found it where the 5 minutes... so as a club, you know, as a club feed, you just go... Just report on the match. Why would a club feed say, as a football fan, a stand like the Holt End standing up together is impressive. Let's hope we keep them sat down.
Yeah.
It's like no one has monitored. It's not as cold as Huddersfield, so the shirt off supporter in the away end. I don't know if that's a typo.
Can't even spell here. It's not as cold as Huddersfield, so the shirt off supporter in the away end was to be expected. What is that?
So... yeah.
What is that all about?
So obviously, you know, there's a supporter with his shirt off. Next tweet, treatment in capitals. Treatment! Whoa, all right, okay, I've got it. For Steve Warnock. Back up now. Cool. Right. Villa. I don't get this last one that I highlighted. Villa doesn't like what it's seeing. Open bracket, apart from the 1,000+ Latics fans, that is, full stop.
What the?
No close bracket. So grammar. First, grammar. That's not even the point, but the grammar's awful.
So I don't quite get... So the Villa fans do like, apart from the...
What don't they like seeing?
And it's not even... Like you say, it's not even got a closed bracket. Where does it end?
At what point? Why does he go, this will be good? Because he's obviously thought, oh, we'll go viral with this. Like Hyde, was it? A few years ago, that awful non-league team.
Ah, yes.
And they just gave their Twitter to a fan. It turned out to be the funniest thing ever because they just accepted it. But this is just like,
there has to be an investigation into this to find out who is in charge of Wigan's Twitter feed.
But then you look after the game and their post-match reaction, it's all done in their usual professional style. So did he go, oh, I've got a nip off for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Can you do this for me? Yeah. And this guy's gone.
What's going on?
Okay, yeah. You did just report on the match, didn't you? Yeah, put some thoughts of mine in as well. Oh, God, what have you done?
Oh, no, look at the retweets. Oh, no.
delete. Just...
So what did you put? It's already sent. What did you put?
So I couldn't believe it. I thought it was worth mentioning.
It is very, very worth mentioning.
Because, you know, we've had random topics over the past few weeks, like the Mansfield town mobility scooter, but I'd say this is up there with that. Yeah. And just why did you do it?
Yeah, unbelievable. Okay, we move on to a feature of the programme that's been newly introduced. Here in Owen Coyle was nominated for Manager of the Month, quite rightly too. He's led Blackburn from obscurity
to safety. What, by a point?
Terry, he's done a terrific job down there at Ewood Park.
No, this is for, if we have any regular listeners, which I'd be amazed.
It gets bad crack in this programme. I'm not having it.
Yeah, and he should. this is what the new feature's about. Well, we'll come to it in a minute. The Owen Coyle countdown. Yes. Because we highlighted how we used it in a promo how quickly Owen Coyle talks. Right.
See if you come to Glasgow, everybody speaks like that.
Oh well, maybe he could take the Rangers job. Would you have him?
Oh, he's a Celtic man for a start, so no. He's not now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just like, you just listen to him, you're like, oh, no, Owen, stop it. And it's just, at least not as bad as Rotherham. And I suppose the situation they're in, but it was such, it's like appointing Alan Kirbishley for me. Why would you appoint him? Why? And I don't know.
And especially, I mean, down that way, I mean, he's managed, obviously, Burnley.
Exactly.
So he's managed them. Who else? Who else was he in charge of down there?
Wigan. He's been there. Yeah. He's been everywhere. And see, I don't know. Didn't he took Burnley up?
Bolton.
I think.
That's it.
Bolton.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the making of Owen Coyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like you say, he's been everywhere. He gets 30 seconds. I'm interested to hear what you're saying here. How many words he can fit in?
we were going to count it, but it's just no, can't.
Well. You can count at home if you're listening. This is the Owen Coyle countdown.
I think a bit naive, whatever you want to call it, in terms of respect to the third goal. Having said that, I mean, listen, that's a clear penalty as you see on Corey Evans at the start of the second half. And because, obviously, the position he's in, the lads made no attempt to play the ball. It would have been a red card as well, obviously, with the ruling. So, all of a sudden, you have your penalty, pressing down to 10 men. So I feel certainly aggrieved by that decision. That's a huge decision. I mean, we're operating in the fifth, sixth best league, you know, in Europe. And those decisions, those big decisions, they've got to be right on the night. And I don't think that was.
About 605 words.
Yeah, there you go. And I like how the so. As in, are you already on making a new point?
Yeah.
But it is like, he says so much so quickly.
But I miss him saying Barclays Premier League. I miss him saying that, if I'm being honest.
He won't be saying anything Premier League related for a while unless they draw a team in the cup. But it's like he has all the, you know, like a small child when they just think of things, they just go, ah! It's like that, and then he ends up with these long pauses of,
yeah.
Right, I've said everything now.
Breathe.
And so this, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, Owen Coyle, what a guy.
Yeah, he certainly is. Okay, listening to the FL72 on Radio Yorkshire, and I believe the team has just come in, the starting 11 for Leeds United this evening. Tom, you can fill us in.
Shall I fill them in? Shall we wait for Mark? Shall we give it to them? Shall we keep the people in suspense?
Yeah, let's keep the people in suspense. We'll go to the ads, and we'll cross to Mark Wilson in a second.
Come on, get one!
In life, there are clever choices. And not so clever choices. Choosing to curse at the tractor driver holding you up before realizing he's getting out. He's 6 feet six. Oh, and built like a.
You got somewhere to say.
Is a not so clever choice. Choosing to heat your off-grid home with Calagas to hide your tank underground is a clever choice. See how easy it is to switch at Calla.co.uk. Ooh.
Classic Hit Sunday on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello, I'm David Bolton. Join me this coming Sunday for Classic Hit Sunday.
Look what I have for you.
The classic artist.
Show me the way.
The classic artist.
Take my hand. Don't feel the
reason.
Left of center.
The classic artist.
All of that this coming Sunday from 8 a.m.
Classic Hit Sunday on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Live off grid. Make the clever choice. Switch your home central heating to Calagas and get a free above ground tank installation. Visit our website for details. Terms and conditions apply.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with me, Derek Clark. I'm joined by Tom Carnduff. I'm delighted to say we can cross live to Elland Road where Mark Wilson can bring us the teams.
I can indeed, boys. Thank you for that one change to the Leeds United side. It's the expected one. Calvin Phillips out, suspended tonight. He's replaced in the starting lineup by Stuart Dallas. Interesting on the bench, Liam Bridcut fit. And for the first time since he played against Barnsley, he starts on the bench. And there could be a Leeds United debut tonight for Malik Wilkes, the young attacking player. So it's going to be Green in goal. The same back four of Ayling, Bartley, Janssen and Taylor. Vieira, really, the only out-and-out central midfield player in the lineup. Kim Arufi expect to play the 10. Dakara one side. And it'll be Stuart Dallas on the other. And Chris Wood will start up top. It's looking a little bit, if we're honest, a little bit disorganised, Redders, isn't it, at the minute?
It hasn't got the personnel for an exact shape. I think that what you can guarantee is that young Vieira will hold centrally. He'll have to, because, you know, there's nobody else in that 11 that's capable of doing that role. I'm surprised that either Bridcut or Grimes or Murphy or Dier Graag is not playing. Another centre midfield player, because, you know, Leeds do look a little bit light in that department with that 11.
So obviously it's Green in goal, Aileen Barley, Janssen and Taylor. Vieira holding, it'll be Sacco and Dallas either side. If Ruth plays in that number 10 role, there's a problem, isn't there, for Leeds in terms of, you know, where is Dallas going to maybe fill in, or will it be Dakara, do you think?
Well, I think neither. You know, I mean, I know he went with Dukara for a long spell down at Brighton, and that didn't work. He looked like a fish out of water in there. So, you know, to be honest, we have to sit down, and it looks like a 4-1-4-1. That's what I would say. You know, who will occupy the two in front of young Vieira, because he's obviously going to sit. We'll have to wait and see.
Is that a bit of a blow for Matt Grimes? I mean, he looked like he was going to bring him on after 20 minutes the other night, and he didn't bring him on till half time. It's almost like there's no faith in him.
Well, I tell you, if we were going to play him, we'd have brought him on straight away down at Brighton. So he's obviously looking at him, and he hasn't got enough faith in him to put him in. He can't have, he'd let him play him. And again, what perhaps has come up here is the fact that he's cut his nose off with Murphy and Dier Graag. You know, two midfield players that are capable. Murphy proved himself in the last two seasons at Championship level. Dier Graag is an experienced Championship midfield player. And now, you know, you're looking with something disjointed. But at the end of the day, if whatever he puts out wins again tonight, he'll have got it right. But, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, well, we will. So, Green in goal, Ayling, Bartley, Janssen and Taylor are back. Vieira, and then, well, you can perm anyone from five. Sacco, Roof, Dakara, Dallas and Wood. On the bench for Leeds, Silvestri, Cooper, Grimes, Mowat, Berardi, Bridcut and Wilkes. No place for Marcus Antonsen. Just give you the Leeds starting lineup: Alhabsi, Gunter, Blackett, McShane, Moore, Vandenberg, Kelly, Evans, Behrens, McCleary and Samuel. On the bench, Moore, Cooper, Harriet, Weiser, Kermigan, Might and Watson. So the team news a little bit perplexing tonight, boys. We're going to be up against it, Leeds, for me.
Yeah, interesting, Mark. I was going to mention as well, Reading, the best possession starts across Europe. Do you expect them to enjoy the majority of possession tonight, or should Leeds take the game to them?
Well, I think what will happen is that Leeds will maybe account for that. But what you don't want to do at home is let the away team have the ball all the night, because it's going to frustrate your supporters. So maybe with the personnel that's been put out in that side there, it's maybe looking like a 4-1-4-1 with the essence on pressing the opposition. You know, maybe that Leeds are going to go on the front foot and try and go after Reading and try and press them high up the pitch, because what they can't do is let Reading settle into a rhythm.
Yeah, they certainly can't. Mark and Neil, thank you very much for joining us in the FL 72. Remember, you can hear that match live from 7 o'clock. We'll be bringing you live commentary of it. Mark Wilson, Stats and Redders, live from Elland Road. What do you make of the team, Tom?
Attack. That's the one word that comes to mind. Wow, that. I think, like they're saying there, I think it does seem like a 4-1-4-1, because Vieira is literally the only recognised
central midfielder.
Midfielder. That's yeah. What's the word? In the centre of the midfielder? Not good for a football show.
Engage Breen.
Yeah. I think I saw a start as well. Reading have won the last six where Liam Moore started.
Right.
So he's been in great form. So he's in their lineup tonight. But yeah, it should be interesting whether Leeds are going to look to press them to obviously try and restrict their time on the ball. Not too sure, but it's confusing, but I suppose proactive in trying to effectively deal with the opposition that you're playing.
Yeah, I think they certainly have to take the game to Reading this evening and not let them get time on the ball. Very interesting game ahead at Elland Road. Okay, now move on to a feature that that you take pride of place in. Good days, bad days.
So yeah, good days, bad days for this week. So, unfamiliar with it, it's one good day, one bad day from across the Football League. Start off with the Championship. Good day for Reading. 2-1 win over fellow promotion hopefuls Sheffield Wednesday. Move them up to third ahead of tonight's huge game at Elland Road. Bad day, QPR. Mentioned them already. 1-0 loss to bottom club Rotherham leaves them in 18th. And just imagine losing to Rotherham. And I can safely say that because Leeds have already played them, so it's not too bad. League One, good day for Peterborough. 5-2 victory over Chesterfield moves them into the top six in the League One table. They've been in and out of those playoff positions. And it's a bad day for Millwall. 1-0 home loss to Shrewsbury Town, I should say, rather, leaves them in 12th. Not looking good for the team who were League One playoff finalists last year. League Two, a good day for Cambridge United. 5-0 away win over Hartlepool moves them up to 9th in the league. They were struggling the bottom end of the table not too long ago. So what a turnaround it has been for them. Bad day for Accrington Stanley. 1-0 loss to Leighton Orient in the bottom of the table. Clash puts them in 22nd. 3 points clear of Cheltenham in the relegation zone again. For a team who made playoffs last year, it's not going too well. Good days, bad days for this week.
Unbelievable. Tell you what, Accrington Stanley, there's a side that were in the playoffs last year.
Exactly.
It's what's just, going on?
It's much like...
Tell you what the difference is. Matt Crooks and Josh Windass. There you go.
There we are. There we are.
They've went to a super club, as Joey Barton put it, in Rangers, and that's why they're struggling.
Yeah, super club, of course. Yeah. But yeah, it's it's weird, like Millwall, how, you know, Millwall, of course, finalists, made that final. Accrington Stanley made the playoffs, and these are two teams who were, you know, really struggling, especially Accrington. It's been, I know they were kind of boosted by that kind of second half of the season run, much like Barnsley, where they pushed in to the playoffs and they kind of kept their place there. But disappointing, you know. I think it'll be even more disappointing if they get relegated out of the Football League completely, because, you know,
and that seems bonkers,
only two spots, isn't there?
But yeah, let's hope that they can get their act together.
Definitely.
So to speak. Let's just give you the teams from the South Yorkshire Derby tonight. Sheffield Wednesday taking on Barnsley. The Sheffield Wednesday side, Kieran Westwood in goals. Then it's Lee, Fletcher, Reach, Leuvens, Lees, Palmer, Jal, Hutchinson, Poodle and Bannon. On the bench for the Ills this evening, Wellsmith, Jones, Amido, Wallace, Sasso, Nuhil and George Hurst. So that's the Sheffield Wednesday side. I've not got the Barnsley side yet, so I'll try and get that for you in a minute.
Should we look for the Barnsley? Should we get quick research in for the Barnsley?
Yeah, the Tech supporters listening at the moment will be on the edge of their seats wanting to know who's
They put it in a video.
Do clubs do that?
This is incredible. So for the next 23 seconds.
Yeah, so if you just... So Davison goes, Bree, Roberts, McDonald, Yadam. So that's the same back four as the weekend. Scone, Morsey, Hurrihan and Kent. Same midfield, Winnell and Bradshaw. Same team. So that's the same team they've played in the last three games, Barnsley. Obviously the one against Birmingham and then at the weekend against Norwich. So they're keeping... Paul Higginbotham keeping faith to the side that won those two games. It's a pretty formidable lineup.
It is. You know, that old saying, if it's not broken, don't fix
it. Yeah.
They're winning games. You may as well keep with it and keep going and hope you can carry on getting 3 points.
And you've got the Huddersfield side that are taking on Burton Albion.
Exactly. Huddersfield away at Burton. Ward in goal. Hogg, Billing, Kachunga, Moy, Bunn, Holmes, Dennis, Craney, Wells, Schindler and Heffler. And Burton Albion have, I don't know if you saw it, I think it was when they travelled to Leeds. Yeah. They have this yellow graphic, but they used white writing.
Oh.
And it was like, what have you done?
What?
But they've kind of come to their senses and put their team news on a
put it in black, good.
Yeah, yellow and black, so you can actually
That's
see
fair.
It.
Yeah.
See it much better.
Yeah, always a bonus.
Well, so that's pretty much all the team news from across Yorkshire, isn't it? Apart from Rotherham.
Well, I've got the Rotherham side here. It's, they line up Price, Fisher, Wood, Belaid, Mattock, Adeyemi, Volks, Ford, Brown, Newell and Ward for them. Interesting you're mentioning there about Kachunga, Huddersfield. It's interesting them playing career mode at the moment in FIFA 17 and they've signed for Ingolstadt, which obviously he's on loan from. So he's actually, I'm starting with him up front.
That's spooky.
And another thing I've started when I was playing FIFA is because I've transferred to the German league, putting the commentary in German.
Nice.
So that's nice.
It's better than is it Alan Smith who, I don't know if it's FIFA 16, where every game they'd go, well, you had a player on loan. He'd talk about his time on loan at Leicester from Arsenal. He used to.
Those are the days.
Yeah, and I actually went on loan to Leicester and as a Leicester player played Arsenal. It's like,
unbelievable.
Both sets of supporters singing my name. That's the line. And so hopefully that's got better. But German commentary.
Ooh, oh, yeah. It's good.
Well, not too long ago, it was Ingolstadt that were linked with Wagner, their manager. So. Be interested to see if he'll end up back in Germany anytime soon.
Yeah, as it stands, we're top of the Bundesliga, so we're flying high. And I've just had an offer from Victoria Guimarães from Portugal, but I knocked it back.
Wow, huge
it's an
job.
An extra £6,000 a week, but
huge job.
Yeah, so there you go. Right, okay, prediction time for tonight. Ellen Road, Leeds United, Reading. How do you think it will go?
I think, of course, Leeds at home. They're better under Gary Monk than they have been in recent years. That's kind of for certain. Reading, though, good team. It's difficult, especially looking at that team. We don't know how they're going to line up. I'm going to say 1-1 draw.
Yeah. I think Leeds have to take the game to them. I think there's going to be goals in it. I don't think they'll lose, but I think, yeah, I reckon a 1-1 or a 2-2. I don't think they'll get beat. What about Rotherham tonight? Do you think they'll get gubbed?
I think, especially at Fulham, I think it's going to be another bad night for them. We'll go 3-0 to Fulham.
What about the South Yorkshire derby?
Again, we touched on this. I think if it was the other way around at Oakwell, I'd maybe think differently, but still, I think Sheffield Wednesday might just edge it. I'm going to still say 2-1 to the Owls.
And Huddersfield, do you think they'll win at Burton?
I think they're going to be lifted by the result of the weekend. Burton, like I said, we said it earlier, it's difficult to judge Burton, especially at home. I'd say, I think they'll just nick it. I'll go 2-1, but this time to Huddersfield, to the away side.
Yeah, certainly some tasty ties taking place across at Yorkshire tonight. This game's taking place tomorrow as well. And Thursday, Sheffield United in action in League One. So certainly a lot of games to take your fancy across Yorkshire. Thanks very much. You've been listening to the FL72 here on Radio Yorkshire. Thanks very much for Tom Carnduff for helping me through
the program. It's good fun.
Sam Bridges will be back in the hot seat next week. But next up, just after the 7 o'clock news, it's a big one. It's Leeds United Live. Mark Wilson, Stats and Redders, bringing you live commentary of Leeds United against Reading at Elland Road. Good night.